Want to stay up to date on the biggest stories in pop culture and entertainment? Then be sure to check out the TMZ podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton from TMZ, the TV show, and every day I'll sit down with a member of our news team to give exclusive breakdowns of the day's most talked about headlines, stories we break, and the stories you care about. So check out the TMZ podcast, Monday through Friday, and the other podcasts from the TMZ audio network like Last Days and TMZ Verified, available on all podcast platforms.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by you and your generous support over at theinstance.net. Go there, click the support button, and find out what cool physical and digital rewards you can get every month by being a supporter of The Instance. That's at theinstance.net.
They are no longer part of my horde! The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is Instance episode 571, and it is September 13th, 2019. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Patrick Beja in Finland somewhere. How's it going?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey. Tu veux dire bonjour, Loulou?
Oh, oui, oui.
Bonjour, Scott.
Si. Non. Oh, non. Listen.
Si. No, tu dis bonjour?
Non.
Non, tu veux pas dire bonjour?
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. How many languages does he already know?
Tu vas voir maman? Oui.
Oh, my gosh, that's so weird to hear that.
You're killing me.
I know.
Cuteness.
I know. It's really, we're all dying from cuteness. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
This is not my horde.
Yes. Sorry,
Patrick.
The little one came into the room. Je parle à internet. Je parle à Scott et Garrett.
Yeah, oui.
Donc on dit au revoir. Ciao. Sorry, he now knows how to open doors.
Don't you dare apologize for that.
You shouldn't apologize for that. That was amazing. So hold on a second. How many languages does he know now? Like his age, or does he understand?
Well, I mean, he's starting to speak French and Swedish.
What? Insane. Yeah. And there'll be English in there at some point, right? You're gonna have some of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
All right.
Probably a little bit of Japanese in there, and then he's gonna have to learn Finnish in school.
You,
it's gonna be fun for him.
Well done. That's amazing. That's so cool. Multicultural boy knows how to open doors. It's good to have you here, Patrick. Also Garrett Weinzierl, all the way from Florida. Hello, Garrett.
Thank you for inviting me back, Scott, on the show that I have a I'm that's not a thing anymore. I don't know why I mentioned it. I'm just here now.
Yeah, you're just here now. Now you're here. I know it still feels weird, but I will say it's nice. You're the only true hurricane in Florida right now, right? There's no more anything getting you all wet.
to say we got lucky is putting it mildly.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we really lucked out on this one.
Okay, well I'm glad over there on the. Wait, East Coast, West Coast? No, you're on the West Coast of Florida.
I'm on the West Coast of Florida, yes.
Yeah, near the taint.
I have a sunset, not a sunrise.
Yeah, you're near the taint. I get it. I know what's up. Anyway, hey, because it looks like a penis, you know. What? That's Florida. It looks like a big wiener. And so you got the start to head toward the Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas.
Okay,
that's
let's or not, or let's talk about World of Warcraft.
I mean, if anything, it like maybe Arizona, because I really contend that Texas is the balls.
Yeah, Texas is the balls of our country. Did you know this, Patrick? We had anatomical parts of our nation
right.
That we point to and say, look, here's the wiener.
I did, and I do even more because actually Sweden is also shaped like a penis, and they're very unhappy about it. So,
which means to all of our listeners in California, you're the butt.
That's right. Take that, California. You ass. All right, here's this, everybody.
Are they?
I think they are. Who else would be over there? Who else would be the bum?
That's true.
That'd be it. And you know what the Hawaii is? Those are just like Bodaggets. Those are leftovers. Anyway, hey, check this out. We're getting right into it. We're going to talk about World of Warcraft today because that's been heavy on my mind all week. And I'll tell you what, part of that is because I'm out there grinding rep every day and for some reason enjoying it. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm playing Modern WoW like a fiend and... I don't know why. Every day I'm logging in. I'm doing all my emissary quests as well as just any that are out there. I am cleaning out the continents every day of world quests, trying to get that rep up. and doing everything else I can. Once in a while, I'll find a weird quest out in the middle of nowhere that I never did in the first place, and I'll just do that because I'm there. Been transmogging.
So you're not doing ult anymore?
Sort of. Yeah, no, that's still happening. So I still have this, my warrior that I started from fresh is now like 36 or something. So he's moving along. But this week was all GURP all the time. It was all just rep grind and me checking it out every day. So I don't have flying yet. I was, I had a big swath of time during, previous to Classics launch where I was not getting in at all. So my rep grind and, you know, sort of prior Pathfinder achievement unlocking was not happening very quickly. And so I'm kind of in that catch-up mode right now, which is sort of what I'm all about. So I'm excited about that because I have come to this conclusion during the week. And so, Garrett, this is a bone to you a little bit. I'm throwing a bone to you. You have long said...
Thank you for clearing that up.
Nazjatar is the better zone is what you've said, right?
Yes.
Then Mechagon. And
yes.
I'm prepared to say that I think if you are if you're still limited to ground travel, Mechagon's a better zone for just getting in, doing the thing, and getting out. That rocket pack thing is also invaluable in there.
Nazjatar, yeah. I mean, if we're talking like strictly convenience,
yeah.
I'm with you.
Right.
But I have other factors I'm factoring into this.
Right. Your love of elves and all that bullshit that you like.
I was just going to say my love of quests that don't suck.
Oh, okay. So there's that. But then here's my feeling, though. After spending enough time in both during the week, just sort of in and out of there, I'm convinced the Nazjatar would be a lot easier if I could fly. So I'm looking forward to, not easier, just a better navigating zone because there's so much verticality to it. There's so much twisty roads and weird directional stuff in that I look forward to when I can fly over that zone. Normally, I don't even care that much about flying, but in this case, I do look forward to that. I think Gadgetland, what's it called? Mechagon. Gadgetland. Mechagon is...
I like Gadgetland.
It's not bad, but it
all
is
all hail King Inspector Gadget.
Lord of Gadgetland. It's a much better ground navigation zone and probably even better flying. But anyway, I've been doing all that and having a great time while, again, the predominant number of my friends are all cranking away in Classic. And Garrett, you're still, where are you at? What level? What are you doing? Where are you feeling?
I am halfway to 33.
Whoa, that's pretty good.
Halfway to 33, streamed this morning before the show, hit 31, I'm carrying into it. I just stepped into Stranglethorn Vale.
Mm.
And I just died in that northeasternmost cave that starts, the mobs as you enter are 30, and then you take three steps in and they're 36, mm-hmm. and they just end your life.
Yeah, those are great. Those are a good memory of mine as well. But when you're in, have you done any of the hunter quest line stuff that's in Stranglethorn yet? Like kill this many disappearing panthers and go now.
Oh, that you're talking about Nessingwary, not hunter specific. Yeah, everyone gets to do that.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, I did. I knocked out the panther and the tiger, the first part of the panther and the tiger quest just before this podcast. They are easy as hell if you're a hunter. Because, like, you just, you know what you do the best as a hunter in Classic WoW, Scott? The best thing you can do is kill things. You're very good at killing things.
Yeah, that's true.
So I knocked them out really fast. I still have part one of the Raptor one to do. But that the only reason I didn't get that one finished is the Raptors are nowhere near the Panthers and the Tigers.
That's a good point. So, I just wanted to report to everybody that having spent some time in Stranglethorn recently with a retail version of a new character, that Nessingwary stuff is still a pain in the ass. Just want to put that out there. Still
it is. I am. I'm currently resting back in Ironforge because it's where my Hearthstone was set. So before I fly back to Stranglethorn, I'm going to get on the auction house and see what those damn pages are selling for. Because ain't no one got time for that.
Mm-hmm. This is all true. Patrick, what have you been doing this week? You've been playing that? Any of this stuff? Have you tried to go deeper or no?
No, I'm still in Overwatch mode. I feel like BFA is going to end up being kind of similar to Warlords for me, where I didn't play until the last patch or like even the last 2 or 3 months before the next expansion. And then I play obsessively nonstop for 2 or 3 months and level all of my characters. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be it. There's still a chance that I'll get sucked in. I don't know, maybe around BlizzCon when they announce the next expansion, I get excited about WoW again. But there's just too much stuff to play, and it's not grabbing me in enough,
yeah.
I guess.
I remember specifically in the Warlords era, you did this very thing. There was like this weird end of expansion. Maybe we knew what the next expansion was. We knew about Legion then or something.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, it was just before Legion launched.
Right.
And I think that's somehow part of what grabbed me.
Yeah.
It was just knowing, maybe I even leveled my Demon Hunter at that point, and that's kind of what, you know, made me jump back in. But yeah.
Well, I think it's fun, or it's a fun experiment that the game, with its launch of Classic, had three distinct impacts. For me, it did this weird thing where it said, ooh, that was fun, but now I want to play Modern. And then I did that. And a lot of players are emailing me going, oh, that's me too. That's weird, isn't it? Yes, it's totally weird. It's completely revitalized my love of the game. In Garrett's case, Classic, he dived headlong in. Like, you are all in. Oh, and we got to talk about this. Patrick seems to be the only person the only person I talked to who seems to know how to earn gold in the game at a decent rate. So why is that? Because everybody complains. Yep. I don't have any gold. I don't have any gold. And it does remind me of 2004 a little bit. But you have somehow walked away with more gold than everybody. What is your magic?
I feel you're probably putting me on a bit of a pedestal. I'm sure there's listeners of this very program that have way more gold than I do. But you just gotta work a little bit. You gotta put a little extra time in. Mm-hmm. Like, grab a profession. Do what I, you know, I'm a hunter, so I have a quiver with arrows in it. So I'm already down on bag space.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, Scott, you know, how could I make this even more challenging for myself? How could I hate my lack of bag space even more? And the answer I came up with was having two gathering professions. Mm. And that's what I've done to myself.
All right. So that's awesome.
Constantly out of space in my bags, which means I'm constantly shipping the shit off to my warrior, mm-hmm. who I play in the evening sometimes with Katie. That's the character I have exclusively to level with my wife, which means most of the time he's just parked getting rest by an auction house somewhere. So my warrior has also become my bank alt.
Bank alts, so, remember those?
So I am. Yeah, I'm. So my hunter is skinning and herbalism. So I'm constantly skinning everything, and also. I feel like, folks out there, I'm going to do myself a disservice, but I'm going to remind you that in Vanilla World of Warcraft, you can skin Worgen. Oh. They're skinnable.
Whoa. Really?
So, yeah. Yeah. I was out in Darkshire at the beginning of, or the end of last week, and there's a bunch of quests to go kill Worgen in the haunted towns out in Darkshire. And I get out there, and I'm not even kidding, guys. There were like 20 corpses of Worgen just laying there.
Oh my god.
20?
Just there, just waiting to be skinned, because whoever killed them either didn't have skinning or didn't realize that you could skin Worgen in Classic. So I spent an hour just skinning dead Worgen.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, this is too good. This is free money.
Yeah.
I can't walk away. I was just following these groups of people that were just committing genocide against the poor people of Worgen in Darkshire. Mm. And I'm just taking their skin. I'm just following behind, cleaning up like some type of vulture.
I had no idea that you could do that. That's a whole village. Think of their families, the poor things, wondering where all those 20 Worgen went.
Those poor cursed beasts that want to rip your jugular out.
Well, they'll all respond eventually.
exactly.
That's interesting. Yeah, really, I don't remember that.
I'm not doing anything crazy. Get Auctionator. Mm-hmm. It's a really user-friendly auction house add-on. And for me, I know there's a lot of money to be made in endgame crafting professions, but I'm just not that interested in it right now. I don't want to put the time in to research what I need to build in what order to level up correctly. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I have just been gathering and selling.
How much cash do you have on your dude right now?
It's nothing crazy. I have like 25 gold.
See, that's a lot of gold at that level, though. I remember that level, and I didn't have 25 gold. I know that. Like, I wasn't even close.
Oh, well, back in the day, neither did I. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing is taking the knowledge I have now and actually utilizing it.
See, that's I really like that. That's a great sentence to just quickly focus on. One of the benefits, I think, of players finding Classic again and enjoying it again as if for the first time is that they do have the intervening years that they experienced other parts of Warcraft that they maybe just didn't know at the beginning, whether that was profession, you know, being good at professions or proficient at those professions, or how to use the auction house properly. Like, all of that stuff is now baggage you can take back on that trip and go, oh, all right, well, now that I know all this, I'm going to be money bags Garrett and have 25 gold when everyone else is struggling to keep three. Because that's kind of where you're at, I think, compared to most players or a lot of other players. I think that's really cool.
I mean, the big thing keeping me down is the cost of new ranks of abilities for the hunter. I mean, this is true. It doesn't matter if you're playing a hunter or anyone else. Like,
yeah, ranks are expensive.
It's expensive real fast when you're leveling up your abilities. I would have a lot more if it wasn't for that. The other thing I'm doing too is also I'm not buying every ability I can get when I can get it. I'm ignoring things like Eye of the Beast because I don't need to see what my pest sees. I don't care. That's a waste of silver. I don't remember what the other aspect for Hunter is that makes you untrackable, but I'm not PvPing. And even if I was, I'm not even sure how it's really worth it to even spend any time being untrackable. It seems so. I'm keeping up, like, you know, my Arcane Shot. Every time there's a new one, I buy it. My Serpent Sting, like my base abilities, I'm constantly upgrading them, but I'm skipping all of the kind of extraneous stuff that I don't need.
You don't need it now anyway. I mean, later those things will benefit you. Misdirection's good, you know. Like, aspect of nature is the one where they can't track you, I think.
I think you might be right.
I think so. That's all different.
I don't know because I don't have it. I'm aspect of the hawk all the time.
No, see,
I'm not aspect of the hawk. I'm an aspect of the cheetah because I'm running.
Right. This is good. Oh, yeah. Cheetah used to be a permanent buff.
That's right. Feels amazing in the context of Classic because you don't have a mount yet. So a 30% run speed increase is insane once you get it.
Yeah.
Then I'm also Beastmaster, so now it's up to a 36% run speed increase. Like I remember thinking about it like, oh, that's nothing. But again, like when you're in it, when you're in this world and that's the way it is, it feels like a huge difference.
Well, first, your first mount is only 30. So you're actually running faster than mounted characters.
60%.
Yeah. Was it 60 for a first mount?
So your first mount is 60.
Oh, I thought it was a 30 buff. Okay. That would make sense. Why would they make you run faster than an expensive mount someone else had to earn or whatever?
Yeah, I believe most of the permanent move speed increase things in vanilla were 30%. Like, I think that's the same speed increase for like a druid travel form.
Mm. Oh, that makes sense.
Now they've got that deer and it's just straight up mount speed.
Yeah, that deer is awesome. I love that.
Pretty sure in Classic, druids also run at a 30% increased movement speed when they're in their it's like a cheetah form for them back in vanilla.
Yeah. Now that you're this far along and you're hanging out in Stranglethorn, still have eyes on the end game prize? Still want to run Molten Core and that kind of stuff?
I do. Yeah. I'd like to get there eventually. My biggest issue right now is that no one that I play with plays when I play. I'm up early Eastern time grinding away, and most of the people I play on Peggle with are West Coasters in the evening.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm hitting a social wall at the moment. So if anyone is listening and you're Alliance side on Peggle, tweet at me at Garrett Art. I need morning friends.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully they didn't all bail yesterday. Let's see, on the 11th through the 16th, we have news about this in a minute, but there was a big open chance to freely move between servers again to help elite queues and stuff. Yeah, Peggle was one of them. So we shall see. What's your name on Peggle? They're asking in the chat.
Saint Jimmy.
Saint Jimmy.
Spelled correctly.
All right. Not a shortening, not ST period, but Saint.
No, original vanilla, I had one M in Jimmy, but I have two M's now because hooray for my wife getting through for name reservations.
Nice.
I didn't get through.
There you go, chat. That's it right there. They got it.
Yes, mushed potatoes, correct.
Yes. But Garrett, sorry, Patrick, you were going to say something. Cut you off there.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention about making money. There is also the option of actually playing the auction house. I used to do that so much back in the day and made a lot of money that way. And since we're on, you know, a classic memory trip, I remember my first big play on the auction house, which is probably what you should do. You should like buy small things and make a little bit of money on a lot of things. But I found a blue sword. I was about level 40 or something like that. And I found a blue sword. I can't remember which one it was, which was horribly priced at the auction house. It was maybe 30 gold or 20 gold. And I bought it immediately and put it up for 100 gold. And I actually sent my friends the message like that I had bought it and that I thought it would go because it was such a good weapon for such a low price. And they were, I had to go out at some point. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes you had to, even when you were playing WoW back in the day. So I got forced to go out of my house, but they were checking the auction house to see it was, if it was still there. And I got a message on, like, I don't know, my Razor at the time, my Motorola Razor old phone.
Wow.
And they were like, oh, I think you know, it might have been sold. I don't see it anymore. I'm like, oh my God, maybe I'm going to have 100 gold. It's going to be crazy. And I did. And it was like one of the best things that ever happened in my entire life.
It feels like early on, and when you were calling into the show and making recommendations for mods and add-ons, it feels like auction stuff was pretty heavy in your rotation at the time.
Oh, yeah. I was a big auction person until maybe Mists. And at that point, I kind of gave up because you have to invest like an hour a day plus 3 hours once a week or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a significant time investment.
The first big play I made in Classic was buying 37 Murloc eyes for 1 copper less than they sell the vendors for on the auction house. I saw them because I had a bunch of my bags and I go to sell them and my add-on tells me, well, this is the lowest price. And I'm like, that's a copper less than they sell the vendor. Why would you put it up on the auction? I'm just going to do the world a service and get rid of this junk and reach an equilibrium once again on the auction house. But you're absolutely right. If you keep an eye on that kind of stuff, and that's why I like Auctionator so much, because it's really user friendly. Because I tried using, I think, Auctioneer back in the day. I hate that add-on.
I think it
is the most obtuse thing on earth. I have no idea how to use it. If I was going to spend the time learning how to use that, I would go learn how to play the actual stock market because it confuses the hell out of me.
Yeah, it is. But if you're going to put in that work, you may as well go make real money, I guess. But it's a good recommendation. Also, funny enough, I also was not forced. I decided to use a bit more auction house this week, and it was because my bags were full of hippo leather or leather I'd pulled off a bunch of dead hippos. Because there was a big, I don't know what happened. There was a big fight out in the middle of nowhere, and everybody was leaving dead hippos everywhere, kind of like your Worgen. So I went and just skinned all these hippos and ended up with stacks of hippo leather, or leather that's all the same leather from everything these days. But I got all that stuff and put it in stacks, went to the auction house. Normally I might vendor it because I don't care. I don't know if this is a thing everyone remembers or not, but I have, at least on this show, famously never been into professions. Don't like them, not interested, not really my jam. So usually I'll just vendor the stuff out of convenience. But in this case, I'm like, you know what? Gotta go to Orgrimmar anyway.
Crazy person.
I know. It's dumb. But
what are you doing?
It's dumb. I admit it. It's dumb. But I always just had enough money. Like right now, I've got, I don't know, 500,000 gold or something, and it's just sitting there. So I never need money. So anyway, I go into the place, and I just think, I wonder if somebody for a stack of 200 of this, you know, just standard leather, there's nothing special about it, that it seems to be going for like 300, 400 gold on the thing. I wonder if someone would just pay 10,000 buyout for it. And so I was just going to wing it. And then I thought later I'd get a mail saying, oh, this didn't sell. Here you go. Put it back in your bag. Somebody paid 10 grand for it. And within about 6 minutes after I posted it, no idea why. But I got 10 grand for a stack of leather. It was amazing.
I'm going to chalk this up to you sold it on GURP and someone was a fan and they're like, yeah,
maybe,
why not?
Maybe. That's entirely possible. But
that's what I'm going to chalk it up to. That or you got your prices wrong and you actually priced it well. I don't know.
I couldn't believe it. I put $10,000 in there.
BFA leather's going for.
And that thing just farted out immediately. And I went, are you kidding me? And I couldn't believe I got that kind of cash for it. So I'm not saying that'll happen twice. But it was still kind of good.
I've been playing World of Warcraft since 2005. I was a year late to the party. This is the first time in Classic that I have ever done leather working. Or not leather working, skinning. Yeah. I've never done skinning before. I think my OG hunter is a minor engineer. Mm-hmm. But God, it just synergizes so well. It's just, it's ridiculous. There's like no reason not to do it if you're a hunter. You're so efficient at killing things.
100% you should be skinning if you're a hunter.
Yeah. Oh, and the last tip I'll give is if you end up on a quest to go kill like humanoids, kill like three times as many as you think you need. Just farm the crap out of them because they're going to drop cloth and everyone buys cloth. Especially once you get like past wool. Once you get into silk and above, farm humanoids.
Yeah, that's a great idea. But and also, I should make one other note here. I made a purchase this week that I kicked myself in the butt because I didn't know it existed. So do you guys remember in Warlords, there was a rare spawn thing that was like one of those big one-eyed troglodyte looking but giant looking dudes that if you killed him, if you caught him during the spawn,
talking about the Gron,
I think so, and then you could ride, there was a mount you could get and you could ride that dude around.
Oh yeah,
yeah, so I didn't know that there were, you could get the Gron on the auction house. This whole time I didn't know. I just thought I missed out on it. Oh well, it's kind of like that
it's a bind on equip.
Yeah, it totally is. And I didn't know that. And they're also kind of cheap. That was $5,000, half the money I got for my freaking weirdo leather thing. And I saw that and went, what? Wait, that's a what? And now that's all I ride.
It has to be new, though. You couldn't get it before when you...
Well, new as
when,
in...
When it was actually, I don't know.
No, new
the as... Fact that, the fact that you can get it, that it's not soul bound anymore.
That's not a new thing. That was the case back in Warlords.
Yeah, I think that was the whole thing. It was bind on equip, so you could pass it around.
Yeah, because my buddy got a second one, and that's how I got mine. He's right. Like, oh, I got a second one. Here you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That probably worked out nice. But yeah, in this case, I was just like, I didn't even know. I didn't know. I don't go to the auction house very often. I don't look at this stuff. And so for the last 2 days, everybody who sees me walking around anywhere must think, oh, that guy sure likes his old Warlords mount that he's had for 6 years.
Dude, they're cool mounts.
They're badass, man. My orc up there just looking like a badass orc on that thing. They were a match made in heaven.
You love Mad Max, and I mean, you're basically Master Blaster at this point. Yeah. Your orc is this tiny little shitbird on top of this Gron. It's fantastic.
I've been enjoying that. Although you got a lot of low ceiling problems with that thing. That's a bummer, that mount.
Yes, it does not clear a lot of doors.
No.
Like not even in Torrin Town where they've got the biggest doors in the business. You're not walking in anywhere with this thing.
Oh, speaking of which, if you have not mount accessories. What's it called now? Where you put you can give your mount the walk on water thing, or you can give them the no days equipment. Thing.
Mount equipment.
Equipment. Jeez. How hard is that to remember?
They'll quote me on that.
Okay, two things about that. Number one, I didn't know that if you replaced it, it destroyed the one you put in there. So just know that. A lot of people already did. But if you didn't know that, just be careful. Don't. If you buy a couple of them, you're like, oh, I'll just swap these out at will. I'll use this one when I'm running around, don't want to get dazed, and I'll use this one when I'm on water. You'll destroy the one that's in there. It's like I don't know what it's like. It kills it. It destroys the other one. So if you're spending a bunch of money on those, just know that. Secondly, when he's got the water one on, which I got pretty immediately, and I'm running around doing world quests in areas with water, it's still a little disconcerting to be on that giant freaking monster beast and have the sound of like ka-kung, ka-kung, ka-kung while I'm out in the middle of the ocean. It's just very odd making the sound and everything. And they don't put like little pat. They don't like the Death Knights leave a little white, like a little snow patch for where they're, you know, walking on the water with that spell they have. Yeah. They don't do that with this equipment thing. So if you're out riding around on something that makes a lot of foot noise when it hits the dirt normally, it's going to do that in the water. And it's a little bit of a weird immersion break thing that's very annoying. And also, if you get spotted by anything, you just sink and it sucks. So anyway, there's that. Hey, we should talk about what's actually going on in the World of Warcraft in terms of retail and classic. There's a lot of stuff happening this week. So, patch 8.2.5 hit the PTR, and people are data mining. And there's a lot of stuff we don't know, though, but we do know this. And this is not a spoiler. There are two encrypted cinematics in the 8.2.5 PTR. We don't know what that is, but we know that one of them is 6 minutes long. And we know that this is probably the end of the war campaign. We know that Sylvanas is on the splash screen. We know that there's text on that splash screen saying something like complete the war campaign or something. So we don't know a whole lot about it. Others have pointed out that some of the previous ones that we've had recently are also that length. So it's possible these are those, but I doubt it. I think this is new and final stuff. So who knows? I actually I'm more convinced than ever that we're going to get a full-blown, full-rendered, Sylvanas-themed cinematic out of this that will be using the assets from, like, the intro and the others that we've seen, and it will involve Thrall somehow. Like, I don't know. I just think they're not going to waste all that. They got all the parts and pieces, like, make something super cool. But 6 minutes
long.
She's
going to walk up.
Yeah.
She's going to walk up Ice Crown. She's going to kick Bolvar in the crotch and take the hill. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Well, down wait, you go.
Will she kick him the helm? And it'll be such a hard kick that the helm will fly off and he'll go off cartoon style and she'll just reach
so
up and
grab
it. So if
I was going to, you know, design the choreography of this crotch kick, yeah. She would kick him. It would knock the helmet off. It would go off screen above, you know, above your shot.
Yeah.
As he falls, she puts her hands up in a catching motion, and it just lands in her hands.
All right.
That's how I would choreograph
it. I like it.
I like it, too.
Wizard, I am available for hire. I love the instance, but I will gladly stop podcasting to come and clearly design the greatest cinematic that has yet been made.
It sounds like quality. Just needs the right leadership, yes. And I think you're the guy. Yeah. anyway, I do get excited about this part of the game, and as much as some would say the story in the game, because of the way it's dealt to us, it's hidden behind time gating, it's hidden behind rep gating, it's hidden behind a lot of that kind of stuff, plus then the actual story is like, there's this huge alliance horde thing, and then, oh, we're over in Jungle Land, and you guys be in Pirate Land for a while, and now let's deal with all those individual conflicts, but maybe we'll get back to the bit, you know, like, there's that thing that happens in these expansions. That's definitely happening in BFA. But the thing I like about this expansion,
I'm reading that it is, by the way.
I know. I am too. I am too. It's not my favorite way for all this to go down. However,
I understand the difficulty of not doing it, but yeah.
Sure. However, though, I don't know if I'm alone in this. My favorite part of this expansion, there's lots of things I like. There's plenty of things I'm disappointed in. But the thing I like the most, I think, is the cinematics, both in game and out. I think that stuff has been stellar. It really adds to the experience. If anything, it supersedes the experience, and they've gone a little too quality and made it too epic so that when you're like, whoa, look at this, now you're back to, oh, wait, I got to help trolls clean out this blood hole or whatever it is, whatever quest I'm doing.
Blood hole.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just a...
Swamp. It's basically a blood hole.
It is kind of a blood hole in a lot of ways, but there are numerous blood holes in the swamp. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, you will never hear me complain about too many Blizzard cinematics. So I am with you there.
Yeah.
It's just
they're so cool.
I'm on record so many episodes of this show saying I'm impatient with the story. Mm-hmm. If I had to boil it down, it just feels like small potatoes compared to Nazoth coming back. Like, why do we give a crap?
Yeah.
About freaking the pissing contest between Sylvanas and Anduin.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. I'm over it. Let's wrap that up and fight an old god, please and thank you.
And every time I go,
that's the problem with every game in history, though.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, especially MMOs, they just suffer from this. They have to tell the big singular story, but then they've got to fill it all in with a ton of other stuff to do that doesn't necessarily serve that. And it's
but I think I'm just going to argue that I disagree, and Legion did it better.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Legion certainly had its slow points, but I feel like narratively most of BFA has been a slow point.
I mean, I could have really gone for, imagine Legion with, as well as it was sort of cohesive throughout, both big and small, but imagine also they went ahead and went with this full rendered out stuff as well. Like the treatment they've given cinematics in this expansion, had that been applied to Legion as well, that would have been, woo. That would have been amazing.
Would have been sick. I mean, we got some really good ones in Legion with the in-game engine.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I would have loved to have seen that fully rendered. Like, oh, could you imagine Illidan? I am my scars fully rendered out.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, dude. Oh, my gosh.
I wish they would do it.
Yeah. That would have cracked my TV from fist pumping so hard.
Wait, what?
That might be the single best line in any game ever.
Yeah. It was great. Like, it was something. And, you know, it worked. The whole came together in that game, in that expansion. It really did.
Like, it was such an accomplishment because Illidan isn't even, like, close to my favorite Warcraft character.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, he was.
Yeah. No, he...
So good.
He went from B tier. He's like Iron Man in the Marvel Universe. Like, no one cares about Iron Man until you do. And then
there's a lot of Illidan fanboys.
Illidan was he has fan.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that my opinion is shared by a lot of people. I don't think it is. But Illidan is not one of my favorite
characters. I always had trouble with his pants. That was my only big issue. Everything else is fine.
Dude.
It's just his pants. Nothing else. Everything is fine. He's great. He's just got these pants.
Deeply personal rabbit hole. Two friends that I hang out with every weekend here, Ben and Abby. If you listen to my other podcast, I reference them because they're like raging Star Wars fans, and they're the reason Katie and I got into cocktails, and why we're big cocktail nerds now.
Yeah.
But we were hanging out at their place the other day talking about World of Warcraft because they're like, oh, you're playing Classic again, because they used to play. They don't play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into this whole WoW conversation, and somehow Illidan came up, and Abby goes, I always hated his pants.
See? It's not so just me.
It's hilarious that that's what you're bringing up, because I'm with you. His pants are dumb.
His pants are dumb. They've always been dumb. Dumb.
He looks like a hippie on campus that's trying to sell you bad weed.
It's a bad design. It's just not good. Worst. The rest of him's fine. He's cool. He's got big old bat wings, and he's got all the tats and the horns and the whatnot and the glowy eyes and the freaking handkerchief thing over the eyes and just looking like a total badass. And then the pants. What are you doing?
You do need to make room for his hooves when he's in full-on raging demon mode.
Could you have... Okay, let's go back to Terminator 2. Could you picture Arnold Schwarzenegger in that movie? He's all in leathers. Remember, he's stolen from those bikers. He's got leather jacket, the leather pants, the boots.
I love the idea of like someone that doesn't remember that the Terminator wears leather.
Right. Imagine that, though. You see, well, you know,
there might be a few youngins in the audience who haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, there's some Gen Zers who have never seen that movie. But if you picture that, now picture him in a pink diaper, but everything else is there. He's got the boots, he's got the leather jacket, and then he's in a pink diaper.
We don't have to go that far. We don't have to reduce it that far down. You can just say, imagine the Terminator in Illidan's stupid pants. And it's silly. He's ridiculous.
Oh, I hate his pants. All right. Anyway,
Benjamin in the chat room says Illidan and his Dickies work pants should be today's episode title.
They totally are, dude. Oh, they're bad. Anyway, no one ever had the guts to tell him he was his pants. All right. Let's see here. That should be the line. I am my pants. Yeah, that's a.
They're like pedal pushers, man. Like he's out back doing freaking some yard work. He's got to work on his daisies.
Somebody get a little instance meme going with him screaming, I am my pants. I think we have something there. All right.
That line lends itself to so much. Yeah. You know, pants. Oh, I was going to go with something else that starts with P, which.
Oh, my God. Scott, can you do the frog pants frog with Illidan horns?
Yeah, I can totally do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll get on that. also, what P word, Patrick? What was it going to be? It wasn't Patrick.
It was going to be pantaloons.
Oh, pantaloons.
That's
yeah.
Right. Yes.
I like that you resisted saying it because you know how fruity a word that is and how French it is to say pantaloons. That's why you didn't say it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I get it. It's totally fine. All right. Hey, check this out. So there's this new Final Destination button in the quest log. And no, it doesn't run the original movie called Final Destination when you press it. It shows you your final destination of a quest if you plan your own routes. So you can toggle between this and show travel route buttons freely, so you don't have to live with that or have that on all the time. But if you're doing some kind of quest chain, quest lines, daily, I assume world quests are going to be like this too. You've now got this little arrow loop thing that you can toggle between that will show you your final destination, which is kind of cool.
Wait, I'm not sure I understand. It means the final destination for the quest chain, or
yeah. So if you're doing, I don't know about chain's a good question. They didn't get into that. But if you are doing, let's say you're doing a quest, and it's not just come back to the same guy you talked to and turn it in, but it's actually way over here in a new little place. You know, especially in initial zone stuff, you'll do two or three for the people you meet, and then you'll run down the road and there's eight more people with quests, and then you kind of just keep moving. And a lot of those quests finish at the next set of people. That's even true in vanilla in some cases, but they'll do that so that to what end or to what value, I don't know exactly yet until I use it.
I think this is mostly to help with the, like showing you a million portals to jump through, like island expedition turn-ins where big offenders of this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so like playing it's like playing Eve Online and having to take 50 Stargates to get to a place. There is a little of that in WoW. So you know, your final,
so it's like it shows you where you get the stuff you're supposed to get and mm-hmm. the place where you should bring it at the end.
Yeah. I guess that's
what it would be. Okay, I can see that making sense.
Yeah, whether it's useful for every quest or not is probably arguable, but and also
you know you're going to go to that place, then you see that there are like three quests you could be giving there, and so you do all of those before you get there.
Right.
I guess that's what it's for.
And you could say, well, you know, if this applies to every quest from level one up, then it's probably a very blankety sort of application of this idea. I don't think this is just for new quests, so we'll see how it goes. It's just
I think it would be a systems level change.
This may have existed in mod form. I don't know. Maybe there was a mod.
Well, mods have like, you know, there's TomTom and stuff like that that actually plan out your route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not what it is.
I don't want it to be that. I hate TomTom.
It's just, there are literally quest turn-ins that would have you jump through like three portals when one portal would do, and this is fixing that.
That's good. Because I notice a lot of optional text on stuff like, for example, I had to go to Northrend this week because I didn't. This shows what happens when you kind of fall asleep at the wheel and don't play for a chunk of time. I didn't know they did the Hattie thing for hunters where you could go now just get like three or four Hattie variations and put them in your stable. But you had to do this big quest with Thorum. And
what?
Do you know about this?
We talked about it on the show.
I don't remember talking about it. I don't remember a thing about that damn thing. And so I suddenly see.
I just think they remember this episode because Patrick wasn't here. Yeah. And so I added a bunch of patch spoilers into the episode.
I probably blew it off because what happened is there was a dude in Zandalar was just like, hey, come here. And I went and did this quest. And I was like, I didn't even know this was in here. So I went all the way there. I did this stuff with Thorum. But that was a good example. That was a very cool quest, by the way. It was very good. That thing had me going to so many portals and flying so many places and doing so many freaking... I mean, they really make you go out of your way on some of those just to travel, and it's a little annoying. So maybe this would help those? I don't know.
Pretty sure Northrend got a little weirder, too, after the great portal culling of 8.2.
Yeah. It was fun to go there, though. I don't know. I've been there in a while, so it was nice to... You know,
I'm glad you did it. I saw like PTR footage of it. It's a rad quest line. I haven't done it on my hunter, but my original main, my Night Elf hunter, is not actually max level in retail. So
Yeah, it was cool. I don't even plan to use the Hattie mounts that much, and you can rename them, by the way. So I think mine's Simon and Larry or something.
Gotta keep it Hattie.
I don't know, man. It's like a dog. Somebody
that's like
else
renaming Pikachu in Pokemon.
But think of it this way: what if Thorum was a real guy, Mr. Thorum down the road, and he owns a dog? And you're like, "Oh, you're getting rid of your dog, are you?" And he says, "Yeah, I can't take him anymore." Okay, we'll take him. I'm not going to keep calling him Butch. I'm going to call him Bruno or something new. I always do that if it's a dog I'm rescuing or something.
Yeah, but if your neighbor down the road is getting rid of a mythical creature with centuries of lore, I think maybe you'll continue. That's like, oh, I'm just gonna, oh, well, I adopted this three-headed dog, but I don't feel like calling him Cerberus.
I mean, I hate to admit it, but that's a really good point. So I've done that. I guess I can rename him back to Hattie.
On the other hand, having a Cerberus called Larry is humorous.
Yeah.
So
it's,
it is on brand for Scott. I will give you that.
Yeah, I like to name my pets
Scott
Super.
Scott adopted Cerberus. He would name it Larry.
Three-headed Bill is what I'd call him. That'd be fun. Anyway, also, Recruit a Friend is back, and some people are pissed. Now, that's not saying
much. Of course
they
are.
Well, this in particular, though, seems to have ruffled a bunch of classic players' feathers. And I don't understand why, so I'm looking for some clarification here, either from the chat or from you guys, or maybe I'll just never understand this, but I've heard mostly from people who came back for Classic and are mad that Classic launched first and then this came out later. And I don't think Classic is at all affected by Recruit a Friend, or if it is, I don't know. I mean, basically Recruit a Friend is here, come pay us $15. So maybe it does, because it's just default.
It absolutely does, because you need an active sub to play Classic.
So then people are mad, I guess, that they didn't get to take advantage of the
exact
thing because they joined. Okay, so they joined Classic before this deal. If they would have, if it would have been before that, then they would have gotten it. And they think it's a greedy move by Blizzard. The part that I don't understand is how it's a greedy move, because Blizzard would have benefited from doing this before Classic. It just sounds like they screwed up on the timing, and it's not them being greedy.
No, they get the money of everyone that wants to come back first, and then they're like, ooh, maybe other people will want to show up as well who will be convinced by this.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if I was trying to make money, this is exactly how I would have staged it.
Right.
Yeah, they're saving money, or, well, not saving money, but they're not giving people who would have come, who have already come back, the added bonuses, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, I don't know. You might be right.
But if all you're coming back for is Classic, why do you care anyway?
I think the people that are mad are at least mildly interested in both forms of the game.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Or they want those sweet Reddit upvotes, and they're just getting angry because it's popular to get angry.
I mean, if you've already bought, you know, a bunch of game time because you were like, oh, I'm coming back for Classic, whatever, I'll do it this way and I'll buy it and whatever. And 2 weeks later, you're like, well, if you buy 6 months game time, you get this and this. It's like, but I just bought 6 months, like 2 days ago. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I could have gotten that promotion. That's how
I do, to a degree. I get it. Like, I kind of understand being a little salty about it.
Well, are you even more so because the stuff they're given with this thing are very Hearthstone related, like the skins and the stuff's very explorers and all.
Really,
that.
I just want the backpack.
Yeah,
it looks super cool, and
I kind of want the Indiana.
Man, I don't like agreeing with outrage, Scott, but you're baiting me into it. It's really cool. Why haven't we gotten super dope, sweet back cosmetics other than a cape before this? Uh-huh. This is like our first one that's really cool and super unique. Yep. And if you don't have a friend that wants to play WoW and you can't honestly get them, you can't actually do the recruiter friend, it's a lot of money to game the system to get it otherwise.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah.
It's seedy. It's a little seedy.
Yeah, it is, but I could also see... I mean. Do you guys say it could be?
I don't think it's.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I don't think it's seedy. That seems a little bit harsh. I don't think they're thinking, oh, we're gonna get tons of people to create a second account and give us more money that way. I think that's a very small minority of people who would actually.
I've done it twice.
Yeah, but you're part of that.
I've gotten my Rocket and my Zevra.
Yeah.
Doing exactly that.
You're that guy, though. You're the guy. Patrick's describing. Yeah, totally. But these are.
I am that guy. Yeah. It's so. I mean, it's so. Let's see. I wouldn't care if this was the Alabaster Mount. If this was something I thought was creatively void, I wouldn't care. Like the Alabaster Mounts, I think they look like butt. So I don't really give a crap that they're charging money for them. But I want the backpack. So now I'm salty.
Yeah.
They've created something I actually want, and
I really want that backpack too. I think of all of this, it's the backpack I want. That's really rad. Look at that thing.
There's never been a better time to multi-box in Classic. So you know what? Just go ahead, buy yourself a second account. Let's do this thing.
That's true. Can I still do that and get away with that?
Yes, absolutely. I ran into 3 multi-boxers this week.
Oh, man. Now you're tempting me with tempting temps. All right. I'm going to think about that.
To get the backpack?
Yeah, I want that. I want all that stuff. I want that mount too, or the flying mount looks awesome. That glider plane thing. I don't care about the camel much. Yeah, pretty much the backpack and the mount are kind of my thing.
It's also, I believe, anyway, the amount of time that is so ridiculous because you have to sub for, is it 6 months?
Oh, good Lord. Really? Well, then I'm just paying. You know what I wish Blizzard would do? Here's what I wish they would do.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you want the rucksack, Scott, your recruit has to subscribe for 11 months.
Oh, rucksack. More like sack. Get it? I didn't swear, but you know.
Yeah. And 12 months gets you the explorer's attire. So 12 months to get everything.
So
yeah, that's a lot of.
That's rough.
It's a lot, right?
Sorry. I had scanned this initially and kind of was just like, oh, that's absurd, and moved on. I didn't look at the actual, like, this is really. like point by point, like get one thing for 2 months, one thing for 3 months, one thing for 5 months,
yeah,
all the way up to a full 1 year.
Well, they're looking for retention. I mean, that's what they want out of this. So I don't blame them for trying to get the goal done that they actually do this for, but it doesn't do us much good. I mean, here's what I wish.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead.
It feels a bit, I don't know. I mean, I understand the commercial intent, but I agree. It feels a little bit, I'll revise my opinion. It feels a bit scummy. I'm with Garrett. Like, oh,
yes,
look,
if you subscribe
for 12 months, like that's a long time. 12 months is, it's a lot of money and it's a long time. And of course you can say, well, it's only something, you know, if you genuinely want to play 12 months, it feels a little bit pay to not win because it's just cosmetic stuff, which mm-hmm. I usually have zero problem with. Mm-hmm. But here it's a little bit like, I think I'm the kind of person who can just brush it off and say, well, I'm not going to get that cosmetics thing. Mm-hmm. So whatever. But I still understand the stinging nature of it. And usually I'm like, whatever, get over it.
Yeah.
So
if it were me, or if I got my way, it would be this, so that we have best of two worlds. They can do their little push to get new people in. And then when they do a new recruit a friend program, which turns over all the time, not all the time, but when they do, put this stuff up for me to either purchase or earn another way, so that it wasn't the only way I could have gotten it. And it can be two times behind. I don't care. But like eventually I'd like it so that I could get this rucksack some other way. Like I want to buy it.
That'd be cool. Like do another long, strange trip it's been. The kind of thing that will literally take you a year to complete.
Right. I'd be okay with that. Because I know I just want it eventually. I'd be fine having to earn it. Like that is a badass thing and very personal.
Now it is also worth mentioning that there's a kind of a cool ongoing reward system with this as well. Like if you're legitimately doing this as intended and recruiting a friend and they get hooked and they're playing WoW and you're having a great time together, if they go past the 12 month mark, every 3 months, you're going to get game time rewarded to your account for recruiting them. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like I do want to point out the positive in this.
If I buy it, then I pay for game time and I can get more game time. So I
get more. You're not going to come out of this ahead or break even, but yes, you're going to get more game time.
So I'm saving money by spending money.
Yeah.
No, that's how it works.
You can't. No, I mean,
what I heard. That's what you said, Garrett. So
I'm losing my. Stop this. This is how my brain works. Every time I see a really cheap car on Facebook Marketplace that I want to buy.
Yeah.
No.
Wait, okay. I got a full stop right there. Can you get a car on Facebook Marketplace? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes. If you want like a $2,000 Miata, that is the place to go and
really?
Find it.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. I didn't know that had taken. I didn't know
it has taken over for Craigslist as the place to go find really cheap vehicles.
Well, Craigslist is still good if I want to go find three girls in a diaper or something weird like that, right? Like they're still into the weird pervy stuff. I can do that.
You know, I'm not going to kink shame you, Scott, but I am concerned as to why that was the first place your brain went.
Well, that's what Craigslist. In fact, I remember, was it last year BlizzCon or year before? There was that crazy listing that was just basically setting up the biggest orgy ever at BlizzCon, and they were trying to get all these people in on it. And I thought, man, Craigslist.
Was it? I didn't hear about this. Yeah, I assume that's things that happen to the BlizzCon parties I'm not invited to.
I mean, one assumes all sorts of debauchery happens at every con.
Yeah.
With a lot of sweaty, unwashed people, but none of it is my scene, but I always think of Craigslist as that place now. I don't think of it as a place you go buy something. That's just all you do now.
This went to a really sexy place really quickly. Anyways, back to World of Warcraft.
Very unsexy.
It's really expensive to get your backpack, everybody.
And yeah.
I'm a little bummed about it, but it is what it is. Like you said, it's cosmetics. It doesn't actually affect your gameplay, but still, I really want that backpack.
Yeah, I do too. I really want it. Or an alternative to that one, just make another backpack that's, I don't know.
That would be good.
I feel like the game, as much as they, you know, you're always got bags on you and you're always checking your bags for things, you never get to see your bags. Now we got a big old bag. Oh my gosh, my orc chucking around with that on his back? That's badass. Ugh. Okay.
Like you need that for your Mad Max transmog.
I absolutely need it.
It is required, Sky. You have to spend, I think it like roughly comes out to like $200. Is that what it ends up?
Yeah. Something like that. Close to it. That's crazy. Anyway, some really expensive polygons right there. And it's probably about 12 polygons total.
Hey, let's just abuse our power and say anybody that still listens to the show that's thinking about coming back, hit us up for that sweet recruiter friend.
Yeah.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, I did notice, by the way, even though we're not full Classic all the time, our iTunes ranking has bumped considerably since Classic launched. So another reason to like Classic, I suppose, for some reason.
You gentlemen are welcome.
Mm. Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks for playing the game. We appreciate it. I got a quick email I want to read in the middle of this from a listener named Gordon Liddy about Classic in particular. He says, I feel that there was a huge missed opportunity with the launch of Classic. Why not have the Bronze Dragon flight mess with the timeline again? Maybe they stopped something simple from happening. The culling of Strathholm, for example. So we could have Classic and even subsequent expansions, but with an alternate storyline. Just imagine an untainted Arthas on the throne in Stormwind, which would probably mean the Scourge is running amok. If Terminators and Avengers can F with the timeline, then let the Bronze Dragonflight give us what we were hoping Warlords was. Gordon Liddy. Not to be confused.
Okay, I'm going
to
nitpick this. You, something simple, like the crux of most of the lore we all give a crap about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so much with him on let's change the outcomes. But I am now a little surprised that Blizzard didn't take the opportunity to, in the retail game, maybe even just out in the desert somewhere, have an event, and we all went there, and we could hear a little bit of that stuff about the Bronze Dragonflight dicking with time, freaking Chromie out there poking her head where it doesn't belong, a little piece of shit, and then find out.
That sounds like a full patch or even expansion.
It kind of does, but just a short event, just a little event that says, and we've opened the gates to the old thing, so go to your BattleNet launcher and launch it. Install it.
Yeah. I think it'd be kind of cool if there was just straight up an in-game way to access Classic, that instead of it being its own client, you have to go out to the Caverns of Time, you do a quest, you walk through a portal, and poof, Classic.
Yeah. No.
It'd be kind of fun, but...
It's a cool idea, but I you're right, and Patrick's right. There's no... Blizzard had very little reason, they had no trouble getting people back, so it's not like they needed this extra push by spending that time, money, and effort into tying it all together somehow. But it's an interesting email anyway, and I appreciate it.
It would have been a good, like, even if they had just tied it into a time walking for classics or for vanilla dungeons and raids, that would have been cool.
Yeah,
but you're not nuts, Gordon Liddy. I think they're probably could have been a retail event to especially if it was pre-classic, because if it's happening the same time as the launch, that's kind of, that's bad timing. But to have something happen in retail with the Bronze Dragonflight to kind of celebrate the upcoming release of Classic, I think that would have been cool.
Yeah. Be like Gordon Liddy, not the one from the 70s the 70s that broke into the Democratic National Convention and started Watergate. Not that guy. But this guy, Gordon Liddy. Boy, that shows my age that I even know that. Oh, I was a baby then. Whatever. TheInstance@gmail.com is where he sent this email. So if you want to be like him, you can do it. TheInstance@gmail.com. Quick note, the Classic servers are getting free character moves still, and they have a current run of that happening between the 11th, which was a couple days ago, and the 16th. So between now and then, you can do free character moves, way to get yourselves off the high pop servers onto less queued up ones or however you want to do it. Ours is one of those. So Peggle definitely affected, and free if you want to do it. They have this huge list, so go check it out.
But don't. Start playing in the AM. Hit me up on Twitter @GarrettArt, let's run some dungeons together.
Are you queuing in the morning at all? Are there any queues for you? Are you good? No problem?
I haven't really run into one, but I will say I'm not playing as hard as I was the first week. So I'm not playing in the evening as much as I was before, so I'm not logging on peak hours. I've been doing my own morning stream, not to brand confuse anyone, but Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, I have started a stream around 8 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
And I play Classic until around 11 a.m. So I've been kind of doing 3-hour chunks 3 days a week. That being said, I have played every day this week.
So if you're, between like 29 and 35 level and is up in the morning, want to play, and you're on Peggle, there's a few caveats there.
And your alliance.
What else? What other things we have to do? No, that's probably good.
And you're not a raging jerk.
And you're not an a-hole. Yeah, no a-holes.
Yeah.
No a-holes.
Not going to start screaming in my ear about how much you hate what I make, mm-hmm. and that I'm the worst thing that ever happened to the instance.
What's the guy we used to talk about on the show all the time? We made him up. Oh, douchebag Carl. Don't be douchebag Carl.
Douchebag Carl. Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
I don't want any douchebag Carls. Now, if your character is named douchebag Carl and you are actually, in fact, a nice person, let's go play.
Yeah. Let's play, as the kids say on YouTube. All right. Time for this. All right. We're going to talk about the rest of what's happening around Blizzard. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but the key art is out for BlizzCon. I have a very specific prediction about this key art. And I'm going to pull it up right now, and it's in the notes, so you guys can see it if you want. I'll put it up for the chat. That thing is blown way out. All right, there we go. This is the key art for BlizzCon this year. And specifically, my theory goes like this. In 2014, well, first of all, I'll tell you who's up here. We have a very prominently featured Tyrael, but in his mecha form, so therefore Heroes of the Storm being represented very highly there. I like that.
Kyle referred to him on Into the Nexus as your ambassador, Mechaterial.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. And also very the Kyle thing.
Ambassador for Heroes of the Storm.
That's a Kyle-ish shit thing to say, too, which I love.
I thought it was interesting that they didn't do Kira or Orphea.
Yeah.
And instead, they went for the kind of the smashing together of IP and and whatnot.
And skin.
It feels tactical to me.
Interesting. Okay. We'll have to follow that through and see how that goes. Then you got your Hearthstone elf lady chucking cards around. Below that, you have a barbarian from Diablo right there in the center. I think that's actually a hint that we got up front and center Diablo news coming.
You think?
Yeah, I think that might be it. And I also,
what a bold prediction.
Side unrelated news, the Diablo show is back, everybody. So check that out on your wherever you get your podcasts. Anyway, then you got Sylvanas down there doing the WoW thing. And over on the other side, you have Egon Stetman from StarCraft messing around with a tablet and doing some whatever. But that's your StarCraft representation.
Like co-op last night.
Yeah, co-op commander currently, that guy. And Tracer down in the middle. Now, in 2014, the key art was a similar layout. I don't think it was the same artist. But it looked complete. Like, oh, here's all the IPs. We're good. Good composition, nothing else going in there. Nobody knew about Overwatch. They announced it, and suddenly you realize that composition left room for Tracer, and boom, there she was. And all the art around the con changed from that moment forward on all the screens to also now include Tracer, because it was this thing we'd just been announced. I believe...
The 2014 art was not Tracer, it was Reaper. Well, Tracer was in there.
Was Tracer Reaper in there? Oh, maybe like, they both showed
Reaper
up.
Reaper was like center of the entire composition. He was the single largest character on the entire poster.
It was one that they did where none of that showed up until they announced it. And then as soon as Metzen got off stage, all of the art changed to include Overwatch.
Yeah, it was 2014 because it was...
That was the year, right?
Definitely Overwatch. And that's the year I left Blizzard, so I remember that was it definitely.
Right.
Here, Scott, I'm sending you a link in the Discord chat.
Oh, let's see.
This is the complete key art for 2014. And I tried my damnedest to find the pre-announcement key art, and I can't find it anywhere, but I'm pretty sure it was just a little almost circular clump below Reaper. Like, I think it was Nazebo, Arthas, Vala Uther,
yeah,
like that little heroes clump at the bottom. I don't think there was much else on display.
I think you're right because they didn't have all, you know, like there's, I see Winston down there. I see, you know, lots of stuff that definitely wasn't in there.
Oh, there's even a Widowmaker kind of like really tiny on the left side.
Yeah, it's very different. But the my memory was up on screen anyway. In the actual event hall, they had this thing change. So here's my theory. So back to my point. My theory is, in this key art, which chat you're looking at right now, to the, I guess it's to Tracer's left, but our right, there is a, because altogether it's a good composition, but to her left, there is room for something to pop in. I don't know what it is.
To the right of Tracer.
To the right of Tracer, to her left, yes.
It sure looks like you could fit another kind of Sylvanas-sized in place character and still have Stetman popping up.
Yep.
I think you could do it. I don't know. They have just been really having a lot of fun with the gesture line from Tracer kind of curving around Stetman. They may have just been having a good time.
You're not wrong.
That's also very possible.
You're not wrong about that. But also, it's important to remember that every single one of these images is layered in here and can be moved at will. This is not a complete painting. So knowing that, knowing how that stuff gets made, I just feel like there's a little hint over here, just a little space for something. We'll see.
It's definitely possible. Are those all new pieces of art, or
yes,
are
they... yes, for this year? Yeah.
Okay.
They do it every year. All
right.
So
it's the same. Yeah, so, yeah. No, but I was wondering if maybe they made something with stuff they already had, so that the new one would be like completely new.
I think...
like they would replace the entire key art. But I guess if they're
all I see. Yeah. So, well, usually what they do is they'll have one, they'll pick an artist at Blizzard for that year, and they'll say, all right, you're in charge of the collage. And my understanding is, and this is how I'd do it if I were them, you do each characterization individually. So, well, not individually, but you're layering stuff so you can, this is all digital art, so you can move this stuff around at will.
Yeah, because you'll see the key art repurpose all around the hall in different configurations.
Yeah. And it's consistent because it's the same artist, right? So that makes it seem like a big cohesive single image, which is cool. But I just think there's room down there. And I'm not saying what it is. I don't know. Mobile thing, freaking some other project they haven't announced.
I mean, it would have to be a new IP, an entirely new IP, right?
Right.
Because all of the existing IPs are represented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why else would you be kind of like cagey about it? I mean, it could be a new hero for Overwatch. It could be a new class for Diablo 4. Mm-hmm. Or Diablo Forever, whatever the hell it ends up being called.
Right. What if it's just Arthas on his horse, and it's like, hey, Warcraft 3 is finally coming out with our redo.
You know, that's actually a good point. There is no Warcraft, like, actually.
Well, I mean, there's Sylvanas. It could be.
She's the representation.
I mean,
here.
It could also, it would work in the composition. It would, the composition, the key art also works as is, and there could be nothing. So both are possible.
Both are possible.
Can I just say I really want a vanilla Sylvanas illustration in the style, like her, because she was a night elf model in Classic.
Oh, right, yeah.
And she was basically wearing the robes of Arugal from Shadowfen Keep. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the robes she was wearing. Sure. So let's give me a robes of Arugal Sylvanas rendered in the style.
That's just because you're playing Classic and you're in the mood for old stuff. I know what's going on there. I see how it is.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? Overwatch coming to Switch. It seems like a thing that should have already happened by now, but it's happening. Overwatch headed to Switch.
30 frames of glory.
30 frames a second. I think that's still pretty impressive that that game will play that well on that device, given, you know, its lack of power. But I mean,
we don't know how it will look, but yes.
That's true. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's significant because they kind of mentioned it in a cagey way a few months, maybe a year ago. Mm. And Kaplan was like, oh, we would love to do it, but it's not currently happening and it's technically challenging and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so I guess they were working on it. Mm. I'm personally not a big Overwatch on console person because I play mostly on PC. And when you've gotten used to one of those things, it's difficult to change. But if there's one console you're going to play Overwatch on, then it's the portable one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can take it anywhere, and mm-hmm. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I do. Since it's a multiplayer-only game, you know, you'll need Wi-Fi wherever you go and that sort of thing if you're playing that way and not plugged into a network on a dock.
That's what I find weird about it, because I don't know about you guys. I do not think of my Switch as an internet-connected device.
I mean, I do, but I don't, not in the sense that I do other... Like, I think of it as like, oh, I can get to the store if I need to, and I can download a thing if I need to, but I don't think of it as like real-time gaming online, for sure.
Yeah, it's the last console I want to have anything to do with the internet, because Nintendo still doesn't understand how the internet works.
This is all true, although I think that there are going to be a swath of, especially kids, who are going to love this idea and are going to get it, and I think 30 frames per second in portable mode on a Switch Lite is going to look great. You're not going to think about frame
rate. I bet in handheld mode, I think it's going to look fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't even think you're really going to notice.
Yeah. If you're looking for that, go for it. So, you know.
That's the story of the Switch, right? It's always everything is cool because it's portable and you can take it anywhere. And yes, you sacrifice some fidelity, but whatever. It's got other advantages.
Exactly. Sure. I mean, it's an honest to God console. And it's cool that you can take it with you. Yeah. It's just, for me personally, online only games on the Switch, it's. The farthest from my interest in why I play on that on that particular
of Blizzard titles that are currently available on Switch, which is a whopping 2. I would probably recommend Diablo 3 over this, but that's just because I'm gonna play Overwatch.
And you can play it offline, unlike the PC version.
Right.
you can play it offline.
That's
so
true. How's that Hearthstone single player deal? I haven't touched it.
It's not out yet.
Oh, I thought it was out. Not out?
Next week.
Oh,
next
week. All right. Thought it was this week for some reason.
The brawls in the lead, there's been 2 weeks of brawl lead up to it, and they were fantastic. Last week was like a little mini dungeon run, and it told a story, and you were getting the League of Explorers back together. Mm. It was really good. They did a great job with it. Wow. And then this week is a Zephyrus brawl, and you should try it out, Scott. I think it
really kind of okay
blow your mind.
I may hop in there. Heroes of the Storm, nothing really going on this week. Kind of quiet, but
it's a damn quiet week.
Yeah, some patches.
Developers have been really chatty in the subreddit.
Yes, which I like. That gives me hope.
They've been previewing a lot of reworks just by replying to comments. There's a big D.Va rework. Sounds like it's coming very soon. Because they like unloaded a bunch of specifics last week about that. And Tassadar is on the block for a major rework. And I think I talked about this a little bit on End of the Nexus last night. I think the reworks are going to come in before BlizzCon.
I do too, yeah.
Because I don't think a rework is the kind of thing you talk about at BlizzCon. You're not going to get new players talking about a rework because they don't know. They're not currently playing.
No, they don't know. And also, there's no reason not to. There's not like there's a professional league that they're running anymore where they have to worry about when they release rework. So they can just do it. Just give us cool stuff that you're doing. And Tassadar's awesome. I don't know you, he always says. He's the best. I love him. Anyway, moving on. How about this? Diablo 3, nothing. Oh, StarCraft, GSL report from Garrett. How's that going?
Greatest esport in the world, boys. Watch it. Watch it. We're in the round of eight.
Yeah.
Round of eight. We're growing to the semis.
Whoa.
I watched a 40-minute StarCraft game, a single game of StarCraft that went to 40 minutes. Mm. It's insane, Scott.
What's the average? I don't even know. An average game. Like
20?
20?
Hmm. Yeah, 20, that sounds... like, there's a rush? 7?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been out for a long time as far as just keeping up with StarCraft. But this year, overall, I've gotten back in. I started watching GSL Season 1 for this year because a bunch of my old favorites were back. And Maru, this kid, he was what, I think 14 in GSL season, like the first ever GSL season back in Wings of Liberty.
Jeez.
And he is now
and
arguably...
now he's 53.
No. And now he is one of the greatest players in the history of StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
And it has been really cool watching him this year. And he's doing well again. He fell off in Season 2. He won Season 1, which was his fourth GSL championship in a row. Hmm. Which I think is the most GSL championships ever won by a single player, and they all happened back-to-back.
Wow. That's
like
intense.
He was just on a reign. It was ridiculous. And then in Season 2, he's out in the round of 32, just out. He gave all he had to give, but here in Season 3, he's back and he's doing well, and the games have been fantastic.
Don't want to freak anyone out, but appears to be a decent time to be into professional StarCraft 2. So check
it. Yeah, and don't quote my accolades there. I could be wrong. I don't know if maybe someone else has as many victories as he does, but
who knows?
Pretty sure he's the record holder.
They should call the eight. What'd you call it? The hot eight, round of eight. You called it. They should call it
round
the,
of eight.
They should call it the hateful eight if anyone gets trolly or mean. Yeah, you know, like the movie, like the movie title.
We would need angrier Korean players because they're all very professional and. Yeah.
They're known for their professionalism. They don't get angry.
Yes.
You wouldn't want to see them when they're angry. All right. That's it for the wrap up around Blizzard. And that's going to do it for the show. Patrick, I would like to throw it to you before we get out of here and ask what's happening on FrenchSpin.com. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's the finest English/French podcast network ever made.
Well, you are very kind, good sir. I would say there are a few things happening. The main one for this audience is probably Pixels, which is a gaming show where you can learn about lots of cool games and gaming news. So there's that. And if you speak French, why don't you try checking out Le Rendez-vous Jeu or Le Rendez-vous Tech? You know how that's spelled because you are a French person and of high caliber and quality.
I would spell it completely wrong. I get the L right, the L-A part. I can do
well,
that.
The thing is, you are in that description I just gave. Yeah. You are a high person, a person of high caliber and quality, just lacking the French part. And almost, that's why you couldn't spell it.
Yeah.
But you're still a highly qualitative person.
You had me at I'm a high person. So nice job. You got me there. awesome. Also,
smoke weed
don't forget Not Patrick on Twitter. Also, that's a fine follow for both French and English followers, and probably Finnish and Swedish and Japanese as well. Hey, Garrett, what's going on over in your world?
Let's talk about Star Wars is back. If you want to hear Jenny Josephson, Tom Merritt, and myself talk about all things Star Wars, we just put up an episode all about Galaxy's Edge in Florida, which I was able to attend and spend far too much money on a lightsaber while I was there. We also just recorded, it's not out yet, we'll be getting it up very soon. We just recorded an episode about the recent Rise of Skywalker teaser, and there will be an episode about the Mandalorian trailer coming after that.
Nice.
So go find out wherever podcasts are found. Other than that, I would like to recommend you checking out my very early morning WoW streams, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, starting at 8 a.m., running till around 11 a.m. Eastern time. Come hang out, check us out. If you're playing in the morning on Pagel and your Alliance, let's go do a dungeon.
Yeah, go fight together.
Everything else at amove.tv.
Solve Azeroth. Did you know that Azerite is underneath you all this time? You just didn't know it in Classic? It's all there. There's a bunch of Azerite just below the surface. It just hasn't bubbled up to the top because nobody stabbed the planet yet. Did you know that?
I didn't. I you know what I frequently think of when I'm walking around on the surface of a planet is, I wonder what MacGuffins are underneath me.
Right. You never know. Deep down in that polygonal world, there's underground stuff too, like caves you've never seen. There's whole other land masses. There's a place covered in mist. You guys just think it's a cloud right now, but really there's a bunch of pandas on it. And you're gonna go
underneath Ironforge. This is another Ironforge that the developers didn't use, but they also didn't remove from the game.
Even better. All right, that's gonna do it for us. Thank you all for watching, listening, and enjoying this right along with us. We'll be back next time with another show. And if you have any thoughts or feelings in the meantime, you can send us your emails to theinstance@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instance Show, Scott Johnson, Not Patrick, Garrett Art. And if you want to find more shows like this, there's lots of it happening over at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Garrett, and for all of you. We'll see you next time.
Kallowak leaders put potential real estate deal on ice. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Our recent report about Uldum made us realize we should check in with other areas from past expansions, and our visit to Northrend uncovered another great story. While attention has been focused on the faction war, Trade Prince Galliwix has been attempting to buy the entire south coast of Northrend, from Borean Tundra to Howling Fjord. Speculation is he thinks there is Azerite under the icy waters offshore, and he is eager to exploit it. But his efforts have been rebuffed by the Kallowak tribes that inhabit the coast. Elder Kanani told ODN that reports from Tuskar merchants across the other continents all assess Galliwix as, quote, a vain, greedy dolt who has no honor and cares for nobody but himself. The goblin wants us to sell him our homes and put ourselves under his control. What sane individual would voluntarily give power to a vindictive idiot like him? Unquote. Frustrated by the Kallowak refusal to bargain, the trade prince made increasingly bizarre offers to sweeten the deal. He somehow became convinced that the Tuskar had grown tired of their seafood diet and promised them thousands of tons of leaves and vegetables from the goblin-controlled areas of Stranglethorn Vale. This disrespect for Tuskar culinary traditions was the last straw, and they sent the goblin negotiators packing. Their final message to Galliwix? No matter how much green you offer us, we will never give up our land. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Buxley now available in Ruby Red. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about dreams. Dear Buxley, what's the weirdest thing you've ever dreamed about? I remember it like it was yesterday, which is weird because it happened last Tuesday. Anyway, here's what happened. I think it's good to walk around here in Thunder Bluff, even if it is raining. I need a little perspective after hearing how hard it's going to be to kill Queen Ashara. I'm glad nothing weird could happen. Oh no! A tornado! Ah! What the? Where's my weapon? Where's my armor? Hey, I think I see some people over there. Whoa, that's a long line. I mean, really long. I could be in that line for hours. And it seemed to me like several hours did pass, and I finally went through this weird portal, and all of a sudden I was standing in front of the first quest giver I ever met. And he had a quest for me. So I looked around, and things were just too weird. I mean, I saw a lot of people I knew there, but they were all in very low-level armor. And I couldn't remember my spells. Everybody was running around, and nobody was using their mounts. No one was flying. So I did what anybody would do. I found the biggest mountain I could find, and I climbed all the way up it. It was really hard to get up there, and I got right over to the edge, and I looked over, and there's like a giant snowstorm going on. I mean, it was like a huge blizzard. There were a lot of people working on something. I really couldn't tell what it was. And then one of them saw me, and he points up at me and says,
"Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain."
That freaked me out, so I backed up and I hit something. When I looked around, I was standing next to this mage.
"I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too."
Well, that freaked me out, and I didn't have any weapons or armor or spells or anything that I could remember, so I did what anybody would do. I pushed her down the hill, and she landed in some water and started screaming, and I yelled down to her, "Walk it off, because you need a bath anyway." I mean, her skin started to turn green. And the next thing I know, I hear this loud, booming voice saying,
"The server will shut down in 5 minutes for a quick reboot."
Next thing I knew, I was waking up at Thunder Bluff again. I'm not sure where I was, but that was one weird place. I was glad to be back in Thunder Bluff because there's no place like home. Thanks for your question.
He is Puxley, the great and powerful.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.